You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. Jim, he's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Homarg, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television and Tyler Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out of the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Mox and Joe. Well, the party gonna hell. Out in the St. John's Swamps. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Descarty. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, hello, everybody. This is Marco Bill, and sorry for the delay and everything. Tom gave me a call a little earlier, and he's sunk in deep kimchi there. He's traveling through a mountain pass, and it just isn't working. We couldn't connect very well, so I'm just going to take the show tonight, and we'll do the best we can. We've got quite a few responses in emails during the week from everybody, and also some telephone calls from people. And I appreciate all the calls, and I appreciate all the emails. And our Searching for Bigfoot webpage, I guess, was down for a couple of days here, and they got a hard drive. The webmaster on the thing has a hard drive that crashed, and they're reinstalling a hard drive, so that should be up here either today or tomorrow. But I'll keep everybody posted on that. I'd just like to say hi to all the good people out there, thank you for participating in our radio show. Thank you for participating in our guest book. Appreciate everything that you guys do. Tom and I are both been pretty busy the last week or so. But it's okay. Busy is good. I want to start off the show tonight. We're going to start off the show with a real good guy from Florida here. His name is Tim. And he's had some experiences that are really unique. Tim, how are you tonight, my friend?
Hey, how you doing? I'm doing pretty good. How's everything going?
Oh, it's going great, Tim. A little bit of hesitancy on the starting of the show, but we're fine.
Yeah.
Tim, tell us a little bit about yourself. What do you do? You live on a farm, or you're...
It's a small farm in Florida. Yeah.
So, hey, that's all we have nowadays anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's why they look
I'm a small farm boy myself.
not like the big farms a long time ago and everything. It's a small farm in Florida, and I like to do farming. Not much like I used to a long time ago, but I still enjoy working gardens and stuff like that. It's kind of bring back the old memories and everything of a long time ago and everything like that.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Well, I think that's a great thing. I'm a farm boy from Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we didn't have a great big farm, just a couple hundred acres, and that was about it.
Yeah. And that's a pretty good sized farm, a couple hundred acres. Yeah, that's a pretty good sized farm. Yeah.
Well, today it is.
Farms got a lot smaller than they used to be. They used to be a lot bigger farms and everything.
Well, on your land there, now you've had some really neat experiences that we talked about. Could you tell us basically where how it started, what your experience has been, and some of the things that you've went through and with some of these creatures?
Well, to be honest with you, I didn't really believe in these things. You know, you always saw them in the World Book back in the 60s and the 70s. Until one night, you know, I was coming up from our church, and we have a little church, our family church. It was one Friday night, and I was like listening to Bible on cassette tapes. I like to do that on Friday night. I like to listen on the tapes, and I was coming back on our front porch. And this must have been about 12 o'clock at night, and it was completely dark out. So I come back on our front porch, and our dog was over there barking in a pen. Anyway, I looked over there about 130 feet from our front porch, and I was kind of shocked. I never saw an animal or whatever this was in my entire life. My gate was closed. I have two small gates, and they was closed, and the gates are like 4 feet high, and they was kind of hooked. And our dog that was in a pen, it had been something, because our dog was really just torn off, but was barking so much at whatever this thing was. Well, anyway, it was walking back and forth along my gate, which was from where I was standing. It might be closer than 130 feet. It might have been maybe 100, 120, maybe 125 feet. And I saw an animal, the eyes on this animal. This animal was, I'm 6 feet tall, and this animal was probably a good 6.5 feet tall. And this animal was walking back and forth along the other side of my gate. My land is completely pitch dark. There's no electricity on it. So anyway, our dog was just barking so much, it had been something. But this animal was not afraid of the dog at all. Anyway, and I like to tell the truth about everything. I don't like to lie to people. I mean, I didn't believe it until I saw them. I don't know what they are, but there's something very different animal. Well, anyway, this animal was walking like a human about 10 or 15 feet along the gates, and it looked really curious. It was kind of like looking at me, and when I saw the eyes, it looks like this animal comes like to be possessive or something. You know, it's a very different animal. Well, anyway, it wasn't afraid of me, but I was.
Well, what color? I'm sorry, Tim. What color? What color? Did it have a color in the eyes, or were they just like
the eyes looked like more like the fluorescent colors, like garage colors or kitchen kitchen fluorescent light, like a fluorescent blue.
Kind of like a shiny thing. Huh?
Yeah, it was very bright. The eyes looked like, to be honest with you, that they was putting out like at least 5 or 6 watts a piece.
Wow.
The way that things were so bright. I never saw an animal with so bright eyes like that. I stared at it for a while, and it was there for about maybe a minute or two. And as it walked down my trail, so I drive my car on my land, because you always like to pack your truck to check your land, see what's on the land and everything. I was driving, it walked, and this is the truth, though. This thing walked like a human for about 100 feet. And then it got on its hind legs and walked about maybe 30 or 40 feet. But then it walked on down the line, down my trail. It got up like a human and walked about 100 feet. Meanwhile, my land don't have no electricity on it, and there's a big oak tree down there. And this oak tree could probably carry at least 1,000 pounds. Anyway, this thing got up in this oak tree, and it was up in the tree, and I could still see the eyes probably at least 300 feet away. And they were bright.
Wow.
I mean, without me having a flashlight, a car light in my lane, it's really kind of spooky to see animal eyes bright like that. Well, anyway, the next couple of days, the following Sunday, I went to work on some of my buildings on my land. It was like maybe 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning, you know, when the early morning dew's out on the land. I walked down there where this animal must have got up in the tree at, and I smelled like it was like a urine, like egg water or like sulfur. It's so strong. It must have recently been there maybe 3 or 4 hours earlier. It almost like felt like it was going to gag you. When it was like about 30 or 40 feet, this strong odor where that animal was. And of course, I saw it then maybe about, it might have been maybe 6 months after that. I was coming from the store, and it was one Sunday evening. It must have been maybe about 7:30, 8 o'clock, and it was in the winter time of December. I've got some posts on my land. You know how people like to piddle with stuff on their land, and I've got some posts that I paint it white, and they're standing like about 6.5 feet tall with little lanterns on them. And I saw eyes walking like a human. And it was about, the eyes was, it came right next to my post, and it was about 3 or 4 feet from where I parked my vehicle at. Well, anyway, these eyes was 1 foot tall to my post, so that's putting these eyes at this creature at 7.5 feet tall. If my post is 6.5 feet tall, these eyes are 7.5 feet tall, so you mean the top of this thing probably reaching 7.5, maybe 8 feet tall. And But the strangest thing on this time, that Friday night or that Sunday evening, I didn't see a body to this creature. But I saw the eyes, and the dog was barking at something. And it was, of course, my land was dark, and I saw a couple other instances on my land. The eyes would hang around. They would kind of hang around. And it's a very it's a very different type of a creature. It's a very quiet, very extremely smart. But to be honest with the people that's listening on this broadcast, I didn't believe it until actually, you don't really believe it until you see those eyes. Once you see the eyes, you know that there's something very, very different than any other animal, because most animal eyes got to shine with a flashlight, like a bobcat or like a panther or a cat or something, or like a wolf or something. They got to shine with they got to have reflection. But I did not know that animal could put out bright lights without no flashlight or anything. It's just something that once you see this, you will never, ever forget this the rest of your life. So it's very different. It's a very different thing. So, and the smell of the sulfur smell, the egg white, I didn't know an animal, I don't know, some cows put out like manure or some of they put out that strong scent like that, but I never knew an animal could put out like sulfur, egg water.
Yeah, like a rotten egg, sulfur kind of wet smell.
Yeah, it's very different. So, but these animals are very tall. They're very quiet. They have never hurt me. They have never bothered us. I guess they could. The weight of them, probably the size of them could. But these things seem to be, they seem to want to mind their own business. They want to just live by themselves. They don't want to hurt nobody, and they're just something that's completely different from the other animals. So, but they are very unique. They're a very unique animal. So
now, you know, one thing, Tim, I'd like to ask you a question. Have you seen them like more than one at a time, or have you seen like any groups of them or anything like that?
Yeah,
the reason I ask that question is they usually hang around and. I mean, they usually travel or have family pods.
They're like
and,
them. Yeah, like a lot,
yeah,
lot
a family
of, animals,
of them
lot,
or something.
Yeah, a lot of animals, they travel together in family. I did see one, it was one Saturday night I saw, it looked like a male and a female might have been standing together because the male, which I saw that Sunday evening, it was about 8 feet tall and the female must have been 6.5 feet tall. So, but... But they are very smart, and you never see them in the daytime. You can look all over your land and weeds and everything. You just don't see them in the daytime. They're very smart. They kind of like know people. They know when to hide. They're very. They just seem to be. They seem to be afraid of people, and they just want to be themselves. So, but I have saw. It looks like the male and the female together. So, But they're very, very different animals. More than anything you ever see in your life. So,
yeah. Have you, by chance, when you were looking around, did you look for footprints or what we have something we call tree twists, and what those are basically, you know, 1.5 to 2 inch limbs that are just twisted around, and a human can't do that. And neither can any other animal. It has to have a hand like a human to do that.
Yeah.
And,
well, I haven't. Wait,
have you noticed anything like that?
Well, I haven't really. When you talked to me there two ago about looking for twists, I haven't really looked for twists of it. But I drive my car around on my land, and I keep it packed. So, you know, a 2,000-pound car would actually pack the trail, so I wouldn't find any footprints. But the eyes hang around probably 4 or 5 times, different instances, fluorescent color. And one thing about these eyes, this animal, this creature, all the eyes are 7 or 8 feet tall, and they can stare. To be honest with you, I don't know, this animal I saw, it looked like it didn't move for like 2 or 3 days, because I went back the following couple of nights, and it was still in the same place, staring, and they just stare at people. Just a very, very, I don't see how in the world they could just stand and just stare at people and then for a long time. So, but yeah, they are real. People talk about Bigfoot's not real or whatever, or Sasquatch. They are some type of different animal. But yeah, to be honest, I'll tell them the truth. They are real. They are definitely, there's something about them. I don't know, there's something about them.
Wow. And how long have you lived on your house there? Quite a long time?
Yeah, we lived here quite about 37 years, quite a long time.
Okay, most of your life, right?
Yeah, man, I'll tell you, that's something nice. Yeah, quite a long time. So, and I've lived out in the country and other places. I've never saw these things. You know, we lived on farms up north, and I've never saw these things before. None of my family members or people we talked to or friends around, we've never even, you heard of some of these things in the World Book. You see pictures of them, just a little brief sentence on these things that they've mentioned in the World, but they don't mention much things in the World Book, very little. But these things have gotten to be seen all across the country and the world. They must be multiplying or something. More than it was here back 30, 40 years ago. So, they don't seem to bother people. Maybe they just want to be by themselves. But they are real. I'm telling you, a lot of people don't believe me. A lot of people say, "Tim, you're crazy." So, but to be honest with you, there's something about these things out there. They're very real. They really are.
Yeah. One of the things, Tim, one of the things that happens is. We have a lot of people come on and they give us this similar description, just like you gave, of these creatures, and the same, you know, the smell. Not all of them have a smell, but quite a few, and you know, it's amazing different parts of the country, all that stuff, and they have the same description that they try to give on these creatures when they see them. Now, we do know there's several different species of them because there are different-looking creatures. There's one is a dog-faced version. It has a snout and fangs and everything, it walks like a human. And then there's a three-toed kind of version, and that's been, there's a legend of Boggy Creek and a few other places around the United States that we've in Canada that they've seen the three-toed thing. Mm-hmm. And there's also a smaller variety of these things. So, I mean, so we know, and we've also had DNA done on some of them, and some of the stuff that we've gotten, like a toenail and a jawbone with a tooth and from a skeleton and a few other things. And each of the things came up a little different. One would come up like two genomes from human, but it's not an ape or it's not human. So it's its own, it's an unknown species of creature. And then there's another that came up human, but ancient human. You know, like 15,000 years ago. There's not enough evidence to be able to substantiate it scientifically, but these are things that we see or hear and collect, and we find that there's different things about them. So it's a really unique thing, and I want to thank you. If you can, stay on for the rest of the show. At the very end of the
welcome.
Show here,
you're welcome.
The last 10 minutes or the last 5 minutes of the show, we're going to have an open discussion. And I'm sure maybe some of the people would like to ask you some questions as well, or you may want to ask some of the people questions as well, too. We're going to have some other guests on here. But I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for calling in and coming on the show and talking about it. And I know it's kind of hard to do sometimes because people think you're nuts when when you say that. When you say that you've seen one,
once you see them, you believe them. Once you got to first see them, then you believe them. So, but they are.
Well, you're doing the same thing we did. We didn't believe either when we started out. until we came face to face with one, and then after that, we believed.
Once you see the eyes, you'll never forget the eyes. So.
Yep. Okay. You're right.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
Tim, thank you so much for sharing tonight.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
All I'm going to do is just mute you out, and then you can listen to the rest of the show here, and at the end of the show, we'll open it up for everybody, okay?
Okay, appreciate it. Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Tim from Florida, and we're going to go to a commercial here, and then we'll be right back, and we're going to talk with Bruce the Snake Man from Texas. Here we go.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. And now we're going to go out to Texas to talk with the Snake Man. How you doing, my friend?
Hey, Marco Bill. How you doing, man?
Gosh, it's been a while. We lost track of you for a while there. It took a while, but by golly, it's really nice to have you back again.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I'd just like to say to that gentleman out there, I am also a Florida boy, transplanted. We have a lot of activity happening here around the Pat Mace Lake.
Oh, really? Well, tell us about it.
Well, we've had some instances where people have had things thrown at their house.
Wow.
Okay.
And like rocks or boards or wood or what? Do you know what it is?
wooden logs and different things of that nature. Also, the one house is right next to a little, I guess you'd call it a ditch or whatever that goes way out. And it seems to me is that they're coming from that area, coming from around the lake.
My gosh.
There are mussels there.
How far in the location, you're close to Paris, Texas, correct?
Yes, I am.
And that's where we went. That was actually, I think that's where we met you on what I think our second expedition.
Yes.
And we had a lot of activity down there. Let me tell you, man. I tell you, it was something else. I didn't mean to interrupt. I just wanted to make sure I knew.
In the middle of the tornado, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Actually, the tornado didn't hit us, but there was 70-mile-an-hour winds, and pitch black and raining like crazy, and, whoa.
I got a good view of it where I was at.
Well, three out of the five groups had encounters that night, and they had a female cornered behind a rock.
Yes.
And one of the teams,
I believe it was a female and a juvenile, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then when they started walking towards the female behind the rock, because they could see it, they could see through the infrared sensors, or they could see it, and rocks started flying from the side of the forest there, and then that meant get out of here. So.
that's exactly true.
The leader dropped his cell phone in the mud.
Yeah. I think I had to go out there after some of the team members that were stranded in the swamp.
Yeah.
Jurassic Park, as Tom would put it.
Yep, exactly.
But we've been having a lot of different sightings and reports coming in. Tell
us about some of them, yeah.
Well, the one that I was telling you about was the things being thrown at the house that's right by this canal that goes to the lake. There's, like I said, there's like little clams, mussels, you know, stuff like that, stuff that they like, you know.
Right,
A lot of messed up prints. I haven't followed it all the way back through all the way yet, but I plan to. There's been all kinds of sightings. There's been people on a property that have been talking about, it's an undisclosed area I can't mention. They've been having sightings, something going into their pig slop trough and eating the food out of the trough.
Yeah, we've heard that before. In fact, several times for different people, from farm people and stuff, where they've gotten into the pig troughs and gotten food.
Yes, sir.
We've
had many different things. There's people that have the squirrel feeders out, and they see a hand come out from behind the tree and just take the corn off the squirrel feeders.
Oh, my gosh. Oh.
And then they go out there, and when they manage to come out from their house, the thing's gone, but you see the little kernels just laying on the ground.
My gosh. Has anybody found footprints or tree formations, anything like that? Bedding areas?
There has been some, like you were telling him, the twist and everything. There has been a couple of those sightings. And things found out in the woods. I've been hearing a lot of tree knocking, too, when I'm out there.
Yeah.
And a lot of whoops. So they're definitely moving in.
Wow. Well, it very well can be the weather, you know, because it seems that over the past year, more and more they're coming closer to whereas we used to, you know, the sightings were mostly, you know, in rural areas, not where a lot of people were. More so now, they're coming closer to the human habitat, and I think it's probably because of food and water, you know, that's deficient. And so they're coming in closer, just, you know, like the bears would do in the springtime when they get up in some of the states that are you know, the like Minnesota and some of the winter states, in the springtime and the fall,
right.
In the springtime they get up and they come in and they sift through the garbage because they're hungry, right?
Yeah. There's a lot of problems with panthers that situations of that nature, too. But, you know, what's really confusing me is that, you know, they come here, but we've been having really messed up weather, you know?
Yeah.
It's been going
cold. Well, that's true. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I think I talked to Bruce Schilt here about 2 weeks ago, or a week ago. It was 55 degrees, or, you know, it's like really getting warm, right? In Montana, that was good where he lives. And and then it got up to like 60 or 55 or 60, and then the next day it started snowing.
Right.
And sleet.
Yeah. Marco Bill, you remember Rosebud?
I sure do.
Well, she and I are now formally engaged.
Wow.
Hi.
Hello, Rosebud. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Great. It's nice to talk to you again.
And we also want to let you know my niece Katrina lost her mother.
Oh, no.
Nancy, Tom knows Nancy very well. So keep Katrina in your prayers. And
well, we'll put a little prayer request out for everybody to do that.
Thank you. Thank you very much. But, yeah, we've been really busy trying to get things, you know, organized here, trying to organize to go back out there, see if we could find something. But the only problem I have is I don't have night vision cameras left. I don't have any at
right.
all. So with lack of equipment to get out there and actually set something up and see if I catch something. So if you know anybody that has any spare ones that they either want to donate or loan or whatever, that would be fantastic.
Well, we'll look out for you, buddy. I'll tell you
All
what.
All right. I appreciate it.
Well, heck, I'm glad you came on tonight and to talk to us and to at least see you again. It's been a...
Well,
I mean, it's really been neat. I mean, man, I somehow we lost track again, and I kept trying to contact you. But what happens is, that, you know, with today, even though your listing and everything else comes up, it doesn't have the right one. It has the old stuff, right?
Yeah.
And it kept coming up with the old stuff, and so
yeah.
you kind of like fell off the side of the earth for a while, and finally. I couldn't believe it, but I went up to my Facebook and I said, "Well, now by God, you were at one time a friend, right?" And
right.
On Facebook, so I went up there and I hit the old button, and sure as heck, poof, you popped out.
I think the last expedition I was on was the Frost, Texas, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, Frost, Texas.
Did you
yep, that's where the peanut butter poop in the jar. And the fingerprint in the jar.
Did you hear about the expedition with my team that Tom set me up with out there when he was there?
I'm sorry, say again?
We were on the other side of the park, and we're by the swamp area, and I actually had a face-to-face encounter.
Oh, my gosh.
And my team left me behind with a dying flashlight.
Well, that was real nice of them, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was funny. But, it was weird. I mean, we had the face-to-face and everything, but my team all scattered, and luckily somebody did manage to come back for me.
I know. But, you know well, we had somebody run into a tree, too. one of the bait areas where they had the sardine cans. The peanut
yeah.
butter, yeah, and there was something. He thought it was one of the team next to the tree, right?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't.
Oh, no.
Oh yeah, and he seen it, and then he turned around and started running, and he ran right into a tree.
Oh man! But you know, Marcusville, the funny thing is nothing went right that night for me. My flashlight went out on me. I couldn't get the radio to work right. And
oh, gosh.
Team...
gosh. It's amazing, isn't it? Well, I thank you so much, Snake Man, for coming on tonight. I'm running a little late. But thank you for coming on. We're going to have you on again. Let us know what's going on. You can call me anytime. You know that. And we'll keep in touch, and we'll find out what's going on in your area over there. It'd
all
be
right.
Nice to have you back in here again and talk to you every once in a while, bud.
All right. Thank you.
Maybe you can
have Tom give me a holler sometime.
I sure will. He should have sent you an email.
Okay.
He sent an email out today or yesterday or something about delaying what he's trying to get together with everybody, or he's talking to you guys about getting together about something, right? He sent out an email.
Okay, I haven't received it yet, so I'll have to check and see.
Okay. Well, after the show, I'll give you, or tomorrow, I'll give you a call and get a hold of Tom and find out.
Okay, that'd be fantastic.
Okay, Bruce, I want to meet you out. You're going to stick around for the end of the show, right?
Sure, no problem.
Okay. Thank you much for coming on.
Well, thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the Snake Man from Texas. And we're going to go out here to talk to our good friend, Mac. Hello, Mac.
Hey, you hear me?
How are you tonight?
I'm good. How are y'all?
I'm doing good.
Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Am I coming in pretty clear?
Yeah, so far.
Can you hear me? Oh, okay, good. No, I'm doing good, man. I got just a bunch of things kicking around here.
Yeah.
Why
don't you tell us a little bit about what's going on in your area there?
Okay. First, let me tell you, tell Chico, man,
yeah.
I said hello.
I sure will.
Thank the world. And I'll tell you a good story on him one of these days. Okay. I've had a lot of things going on in my personal investigation, but let me back up here to some more people's situations. There's two sisters and her niece have been watching this creature for about 6 years, and he comes around their house, but they saw it step out into the road one night, and at one time in the daytime, and then they've seen it several times, like in the past 5 years. And I'm going to just cut this pretty short. I've got their names and numbers, and I'm going to go out there and do the investigating on that for Tom.
Uh-huh.
And also, I've got some buddies that like to deer hunt with dogs over at Boat Chitta, which is about 10 miles from where our resort is, Pearl River Resort. And one guy was standing on a deer stand when the dogs were running, and he saw this tall creature come through, and it spooked him pretty good, so he just shot straight up in the air. The creature went one way, and he went the other, and everybody... And saying, man, he was scared to death, and he said he knew what it was. It was a tall, like hairy man. And I'm just cutting all these little stories short, because I'm gonna get back.
No, that's okay. Yeah.
With them. Now, I want to tell you something about. It's been happening for years. There's a bridge. It's a famous bridge that they have seen like. A hairy man crossed that bridge, and that's in the Shelby County, right central Mississippi.
And
a hairy man has been seen cross there several times. Now, to tell you what it is, have you ever seen the movie Mississippi Burning?
Yes. It was on about a month ago, this last month.
Yeah. Right. You know, three civil rights leaders, and they found the car. But right before they found that car, on that bridge is where this creature has been crossing, right there.
Wow.
And so there's another place, a little place called Bloomo, Mississippi. They got a country restaurant, And a lot of people go out there and eat because they just find steaks and everything. You know, and they got a big dumpster in the back. And not too far from there is a big lake. We used to go skiing there all the time. And it's right in that vicinity where another guy saw this creature that's close to where the two sisters had seen this creature. Now, that I got to check into that. But right now, uh-huh. Ron and I have been, you know, kind of and a Lone Ranger, we've been working together, you know, and we got a hot spot, and I'm talking about, this is the strangest stuff I've ever seen. I got several videos and several pictures I've taken of the videos, and it's coming together, and really I'm kind of hesitant about talking about what I believe is happening. I don't believe any of this stuff is alien out of space stuff, you know. I asked the Run to walk with me out there one day, and I said, you just walk across here, and it's about 6 acres, little sage field, then a big, huge, gutted ditch, and then a timber, and right in the air is where I found the lair.
Well, wow.
As he was walking, I went back. I got the videos. I went back home, and I got creatures in a strange situation. He stops on the edge of this ditch and just stares straight ahead down into a gully. And these creatures walked up to him, about 5 of them, and that's one of the pictures I sent you. I hope I can get it to you. What it
okay.
is, it looks like a little fog or something. I call it a ghost cloud. Now, this sounds strange, but you can't see it with the naked eye. I think it's something that's just now being detected. And I guess you heard it first. Here, I said, I'm going to say it first on your show. That me personally, everybody talks about why we can't see these things. Well, I'm the kind of person that likes to put things together and then read the instructions, you know?
Understand.
instead of 101 Bigfoot, 102 Bigfoot, like Tom teaches, I just went up to 103 and just started looking hard at why we cannot see these creatures and why they're protected. And what I put together out of, now I got more than videos now. I got like 21 videos. But I got close to 5,000 pictures. And what I'm seeing is there's a light, foggy-looking cloud that you cannot see with the naked eye. But, buddy, if you put it on a video, on a monitor, you can see this little cloud, and it's inside the cloud was the creature. It's like it protects them. And it's like a clan where we are. It's about 5 or 6 acres there. And that's where I found the lair. Now, I took Tom out there when he was here. He asked me, could I take him to where that lair was? And I showed him. But since then, and I ain't showed in my little video, but I did not know until I put that little video on a monitor that I was going to get more than I bargained for. I had dog-faced Bigfoot within 35 feet of me on hit the ground. I saw two legs running, and then I saw it dive on the ground, and it's crawling up to face me, and it wasn't the only one. It's like 4 or 5 more. So
wow.
I've been dissecting this, and one strange creature is one of these dog faces. It's got 2 pointed ears, but it has 2 ears like a human being. And I call him Eerie because it's really eerie. He's sort of cute little fella, you know, but he's about 6 feet. And I got some that looks pretty aggressive. we've been out there yesterday baiting it, and I knew last night after I videoed him baiting that, I had some pictures I'm getting ready to put on the monitor. I think are pretty going to be pretty sharp. And today we went back out, but the strange thing, they didn't touch the bait that we put out there. But we put some more out there and videoed some more. And at the same time, Tom was trying to call me and talk to me, and I'm about to just say, I can't talk, I'm videoing right now. I was right in the middle of a serious situation. And, but, you know, you heard it first right here, Max said.
Yeah, well, you got the videos and everything, so that's the pictures and the videos, that's good. And
I believe.
But we'll do this. When Tom gets all settled down here, we'll get it to him.
All right. Now, my son sent you on a camera.
Yes, I got three. I think I got three pictures or four pictures. Three pictures. You go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. Theron is standing there facing the creatures, but they are down in a gully. They're actually, they're like not about 5 feet tall, but actually they're about 7 feet tall, averaging. You know, they're taller than Theron. But they're down in the gully, and they get close. They just stand around looking, but they're watching me, too. These creatures look like dog-faced creatures, and they're, you know, stand up on 2 feet. And actually, after a while, there was five. I could count them. Getting into something here that might be cracking ice. I'm not sure. But
yeah.
I'm dotting every I and crossing every T. You know, everybody wonders why we can't see them. And I personally think every once in a while you get one wakes up on the wrong side of the bed every morning and just takes out. Or you have some, like the juvenile I saw last year, the juvenile, that just takes off and leaves out from under the cloud. And I'm not sure what's happening here, but I'm seeing in my videos pictures of ghost dogs. And I said, I showed him today. I said, this is like a ghost dog, and it did a lot of crazy stuff. But they're not just one white. They're not white. You got all kind of different camouflage paid phases of them. I mean, they're not just one color, which causes it to blend in. And every now and then you see them peep through the clouds, and something that's protecting them. Now, this is just my personal theory. This is what I really believe. I believe, you know, God's the Holy Spirit, but I believe God made a complex world, and I think maybe He assigned maybe some guardian spirits for different animals. And that's what it seems like to me. I have no idea, but I know that I got pictures of one. I've got three pictures of a cloud, that creature-looking cloud, that stands about 10 stories high. And you see the run on the ground. And this looks like type of spirit or something, guardian, you know, looking down over that layer, and it's protecting a cloud. You see his eyes, ears, nose, and everything. Now, two other things. A lot of people talk about the white ball light every time they see it. But there's been several people see a big round light with them. Well, I back those down sometimes, and the contrast make it darker, and I picked up ears, nose, eyes, just like a ghost, mouth too. The little bitty softball type, they call, you know, some people say, it's just orbs on a computer. Well, I took some pictures, caught them in the air, and those little balls, like softballs, they got ears, nose, eyes, face, like ghosts, and they're flying through the air. Now,
wow.
Something there, I believe I got something serious, and I don't know. I've been working on this for a year and a half. Like I say, I didn't want to say anything until I had my ducks in order. So, but the reason I got them, I had another guy standing beside me with a 7/8 resolution camera, and he didn't get anything. But me, I had just a 1.5 resolution camera, little phone camera, just like Tom carries, that doesn't clean up the picture. It doesn't clean up the picture. It leaves the cloud. And I bet if you've got some of these old Kodak pictures, cameras, the black and white ones, if you could contrast dark and take those pictures and make them darker, you would pick up some ears, nose, eyes, mouth on some of those little clouds. And in front of a lot of these animals, these dog-based creatures I'm seeing, you might see a ball.
But have you looked at them? Have you seen them through infrared?
No. It's all, we got these in the daylight. I'm talking about before.
So I understand. Well, yeah, but infrared works for heat, so it, it's a...
Well, see, you got the technology right there that I don't have, and that's why I was
interested
in you.
Oh no, I was just asking, Mac. I just asked. I didn't know if you had it or he had a sensor or something like that or not. But that'd be another thing to do is try to do that. Well, gosh, we're running overtime, Mac. But thanks. I want to thank you for coming on the show, and I need to talk to you some more. I'll talk to you offline. We'll try to get something going here to get the...
That's just
I'm sorry.
My theory on what I found, and that's just what I'm studying right now, because people won't know how come we can't see them. And
no, I understand.
I'm thinking I'm hitting on something, I'm cracking the ice right here, but, you know, we never know, but it looks really, really impressive here. So I'll be in touch with you.
Well, there's a lot of activity going on there, and there has been. Tyrone was on a couple of weeks ago, and he was talking about a lot of action going on. And now you're right there with within a stone's throw of Tyrone.
We work together. He has hit me so much, and we work together. And let me say this: was it Tim that you had on first while we were talking about the red eyes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, he said glowing eyes.
I saw that.
Glowing eyes.
Yeah, the one I saw just at dark time had a pale red eyes way off and about 150 yards from me. Now, I got some more stories I can tell you about the red eyes, but I believe they get red because they're straining how to see. This thing had to jump and cut over trying to get to the highway and was flying, and you know, when you're running that hard, you're straining how to see, jumping over those big cut over limbs and things. I believe they strain those eyes and it turns red. That's just me now. Everybody's got their own opinion.
Mac, what happens, I think what happens is in the inside of your eyeball, there's some creatures have a, especially the ones that can see in the dark, they have kind of like a real sensitive layer that allows light to shine more. And some of the other animals have a portion of that. These creatures seem to have a lot of it. And that's where, that's where the shine type glow kind of comes, the fluorescent kind of thing comes from. But it's amazing thing is that, you know, everybody describes it the same, usually in a similar way, you know. Tell you what, we're really running late.
I'm gonna quit. Okay.
No. We're gonna bring Richard on. No, Mac, stay on.
Sure.
We're bringing Richard on, and when Richard's done, we're gonna go into a conference, a little conference here with open mic with everybody, and you got some questions.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So I'm going to mute you out for now, and we'll. Thanks for coming on. I appreciate it, and I'm going to contact you again probably tomorrow or Friday. Okay.
Sure. No problem.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is Mac. Here we go. We're going to go to Richard from New York. Richard, how are you, my friend?
I'm fine. Marco, how are you?
I'm doing great.
You sound great.
I took some of the pictures that you sent me.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't come out too good, but you sent me the raw ones, so that was good. It allowed me to do it. What I did tonight, well, I only had time to do a couple, and those were a couple that we've already done, but these were clearer. And what I was able to do is put them under your listing, and there's two of them, and one is in color, and then the other is in black and white, and then they have a circle or where it's the ones of the baby. The baby Bigfoot on the side of the trail.
Right,
thing.
Marco, I got a new tablet, and it's like I've seen it for the first time. It's so much sharper and clearer, the whole video. It's unbelievable.
Oh, good.
Everywhere you look at the black spot, guess what? They're there looking at me.
Oh.
And, you know,
okay.
We were talking today. Before I got that video, I had started whistling every time I went in at around that same spot.
Right.
And I would do some tree knocking, and I never got any responses. But I think they were just curious who was doing it.
Uh-huh.
And like we were saying today, you know, I'm a pretty big I played football against professionals, okay? I'm a pretty big guy. I'm not like Steve. I'm not 7 feet tall, but I'm 6 foot tall, and I take a size 48 jacket. So maybe they figure I'm one of them or something. I don't know.
Well, you never can tell. You never can tell. I mean, it's hard. There's some people that, you know, Richard, there's one of the ladies we had on a couple weeks ago. Remember the pancake lady from Florida?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, her and her husband have been, feeding these creatures for years. Okay. And, I mean, we have the videos. And it's the real deal. It's amazing. And what they said is that, you know, although they've never, you know, they don't touch them per se, these creatures come very close to them, and they had their own language, things like that. So it's kind of unique. And then there's a lot of other people too. I mean, not just them. There's several other people. We used to have a lady in Texas that had all these formations and things. They'd set them up, colored rocks on her porch, and then they also set up little rock formations on the path and left her presents, and she'd leave them food, things like that.
I was doing a day there, Marco.
Yeah.
Every day. And they took a landfill sign from the landfill, which is maybe 200 feet off the trail to the one side up a hill, and they put it at the side of the path. Now, who's going to go up that hill through those woods and get that sign and bring it down? Nobody.
Right.
And they stuck it, and first it was laid, they stuck it in the ground. And then the sign, I told you they closed the trail off, they pulled that out and threw that sign down.
Wow.
They threw that sign down. That sign's not standing anymore. It was laying on the ground. They broke it off. They didn't pick it up. They broke it and laid it down, and it was a metal, and it's a metal sign. Metal, you know, staff and a metal sign.
Mm-hmm.
I have no doubt in my mind. I would swear if my life depended on it, I'd say that what's there is real. What we've been looking for all these years is real.
Mm.
It's not a fantasy. It's many, many, many types, like you said, many forms, but they're real. And they're the basis for every fairy tale and folk tale that we have. Ogres, giants, you know, pixies.
Uh-huh.
They got to those stories come from someplace in the woods. Those stories come from someplace, and people were seeing stuff, and they came up with stories to explain it.
Well, I'll tell you what I did tonight. If you go up to www.bigfootlive.com, that's www.bigfootlive.com, that's our radio show page. On the front page, when it comes up, take a look right under on the top of the page, right under Bigfoot Live, and it'll say, look at this. And it's a creature climbing a tree. Now, I've had this video for a while, but what I did to the video to try to enhance your ability to see it, you run it two or three, four times, and you're going to see a lot of things in it. Mm-hmm. But basically, this is a trail camera that was set out. It's twilight. It's just starting to get dark out. And it's on the far right side of the screen, and I've got it magnified, like a magnification lens over the area that he comes up. And you'll see a creature come up behind the tree, crawl up in the tree, shake the tree. There's all kinds of guttural noises. What we don't know and what you don't know, there's another creature in the tree already. And we found that out because we took the whole video and we stabilized. Had actually a real good friend of ours does stabilization techniques, and he took it and stabilized and magnified and redid the pixels on it. And what it is two creatures in the tree shaking the tree back and forth at each other. The other creature goes up, shakes the tree. They communicate, and then he goes back down, and he cuts out of the tree, and he walks off. It's hard to see, but it's pretty neat. It's unique. And we've got other videos, too, but this is one I can put up where we can, you know, we've got other ones that are,
right,
you know, protected for the movies and other things like that we have to release.
You're going to think people I'm crazy, that Marco?
No.
You're going to think I'm crazy? But, you know, I could swear, you know, I shouldn't swear because I'm not sure, but I thought I saw two of them on trees on a very windy day, and they were up there just swinging back and forth, having a great time, enjoying themselves, just enjoying the ride.
Well, I'm telling you, man, they can shake a tree pretty doggone good, let me tell you that.
No, this wind was like 45 miles an hour, and they were just going back and forth. And I was at a distance, and I couldn't get close enough, but I swear they were up there having a good time. You know, like a kid's ride.
Yeah.
Two separate trees next to each other, pine trees.
Wow. Tell you what, let's open this up for discussion. You ready to do that?
Absolutely.
Okay, Mac, I'm putting you on. And Tim, you're on. Bruce, you're on. Steve, you're on, right, buddy?
Yeah, I'm on.
Okay. And, I lost Rocky. But that's okay. So, everybody, we're going to make a discussion period about 5 or so minutes. Does anybody have any questions for Tim?
Tim, did you see any physical bodies? Or did you see the eyes, just the eyes?
I just saw just the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Just only the eyes.
Because it was dark?
It was dark, yeah.
Yeah. They pretty much, you know what, you could be looking right at them and you won't see mm-hmm. them because they have a built-in ghillie suit, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They blend in pretty good. I mean, you really got to look to pick them out.
Yeah.
They blend right in. Even if there's just a little darkness, very hard to see them.
Yeah, they're very, the eyes are very, very strong. It's almost like they kind of got electrical or something, just put out so much brightness. I never saw an animal put out such bright eyes like that.
That's how they see
it. It's like one of those monster films with the demonic eyes
kind of thing. It almost looks like an alien or something. It looks something like out of a movie or something. I didn't know the animal can even put out bright eyes like that.
That's because they're not
eternal.
Like,
no. $700 a piece.
My question is when you said they would buy the dog pen or whatever, how did the animals react?
Well, the animal, this dog was in the pen, and it must have been something besides, because the animal just barking, dogs go out to get nervous and rowdy and everything, and they were just really upset about something. Whatever this animal, this Bigfoot or whatever it was, it's not scared. These animals are not scared. These animals are not scared of people. They're not scared of people. They're not scared of other animals. They probably would even be scared of, like, bears or panthers or anything. They're just, they're very, very, very strong animals.
Well, they're the top predator. Police, they don't have to be afraid of other animals.
No, they're not afraid.
I don't know. I've never had one attack me.
Well, you're a pretty big guy, too.
I've never had one try to attack me.
I don't think they're aggressive that
way. I don't
think
they are either.
I don't think they're aggressive that way.
Well, the only time they've been aggressive that we found, and there's about three or four instances where they were charging, and one, protecting babies or young, it's like we would be, I think. You'd want to protect your young if they thought there was harm coming to them.
Right.
Juveniles, and juveniles are juveniles, whether a human or wherever.
All right.
Those are the main things that we've seen. Actually, our own experience was when they had the creature, the female behind the rock. They thought they had a baby as well. And they could hear the baby crying. And what happened was they started throwing big rocks from the side, completely different direction, on the side of the, from their side. And that was a warning. I mean, the rocks came close. They didn't hit anybody. They came close. And that was just kind of like a warning to get out of there. And, of course, they heeded the warning and got out of there.
Marco, did anybody come up with an estimate for size for the female on that?
Well, it was hard because it's crouched down. And crouched down behind a big rock, a boulder kind of thing.
And the baby sounded like a human baby, did it?
Yeah. It cried. It was crying, yeah.
Uh-huh.
They had sounds, some of the sounds and stuff on it. That's somewhere I got some of the sound that they got. But it was but you got to understand, at the same time, there's 70 mile an hour winds. It's storming. You know what I'm talking about? It was pitch black, rain. I mean, it's just horrible. And it was amazing.
Tell me about the storm, Marco.
It blew all their tents down, that's for sure.
I mean, I got a question. How much of a chance do you think there is that you can come up on one of these things when you're walking in the woods and you surprise them? They don't know you're there.
I don't think there'd be any chance at all.
Neither do I.
I think that they're very aware of what their surroundings are. I think they're very acute. Their senses, I mean, you know, we're humans. We haven't used any of our senses for millions of years.
Dress up like a Bigfoot, you might have a chance.
Well, yeah, you could get run over by a car or a truck like that one guy did. But thing is that I think that they're very aware of their surroundings. And I think they're curious, and that's the reason we see them. They're curious. They come up and they want to see us, and they come close to us, and there's no fear. But what I think.
They know you can't catch them. They know you can't.
Well, I think you can, but the thing, how do you do that? And the issue would be, you don't want to harm a human, and you don't want to harm an animal.
Right.
Either one. And how do you do that? And if you try to capture one, and there's others around, obviously, it's, I don't think the others are going to let you capture it.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So you have to be in a predicament, and you have to set up a way that you're going to do that with to where they're not able, you know, either they're alone or they're caught off guard or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you use the dart guns, obviously, you can tranquilize them, and tranquilizing would keep it from hollering out, and then use the net and the rope to bind it and tie it down to where you can, you know, carry it away.
But there's one problem.
Well, you have to do that without something happening.
Yeah.
Because you want to protect humans and you want to protect the creature.
But, Marco
Not
Bell,
an easy thing.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but if you tranquilize them, don't you think it helps to make sure you get the right dosage for the tranquilizer? Because you're going to be putting in the shock and kill it.
That's available, and when we do that, we do that to rhinos, we do that to elephants, we do that to other animals, gorillas, and I would assume that it would be, you know, on the order of a gorilla or a large gorilla or something like that.
I'd say elephant.
Or even maybe an elephant, yeah.
Right, well,
obviously.
I agree with you.
I mean, it's not like, and the stuff that they use, I don't think is too much weight dependent. I think they use the kind that they use is the stuff that will immobilize you, yet you're still, your body functions all work, you can breathe and all that other good stuff.
Right. Well,
but it immobilizes your muscular, your nerves and everything else, your muscular stuff.
Right.
And,
right.
So you're still aware of what's going on, but you're not. You can't do anything, and that's to keep it, you know, from stressing out or shock. And,
right.
So there's a lot of, you know, and then when you're going to unleash it, it's not that it goes to sleep for any period of time. You give it an antidote dose of something that neutralizes the stuff that you put in them.
That's
what it's going to take to prove it.
Say again.
I said that's the only way that you'll have infinite proof that if you bring one out alive or dead, and preferably alive.
Well, another way to do this, and we've talked about that before too, and that was to use the dart or a device to take a sample of the blood and the skin and the tissue.
Right.
And that can be done either on setting up a tree, you know, a bait trap or something on a tree. You don't want to harm the animal, but it'll take a sample of it and keep it, you know, done.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I think the other thing, too, is that it's going to take a lot of manpower once we trap one and we capture it. It's going to take a lot of manpower to, A, help to do it and put it in some kind of holding facility. It's going to take a lot of manpower.
I think you're right there. Then, again, there's the trick of getting it out of the woods without being interrupted because they usually are not alone, you know?
Yeah, it's true. That's true. I
don't think.
On a regular basis. So, you know, I know that it's going to be tricky.
I don't think it's so much the manpower and trying to capture one of these things. I think it's more or less to be one step or two steps ahead of it and try to outthink it.
Yeah.
Well, part of it, I think they're partially all true. You got to devise a way that's going to be done, and that's not an easy task. It's easy to shoot something and kill it. But it's not so easy to take something alive and have other creatures that are around there going to protect it and not harm a human or an animal or a creature.
Yeah, but who
which said we don't
you
know
think
if these are human or not.
Alive?
Say again.
You could leave, I said, Marco, what's to say you instead of taking it alive, you can take it right there in its own environment and study it right there in its own environment without having to take it or capture it, do anything with it.
Nah, the scientist people don't do that stuff. They, you know, they got to take all their little. The scientist people got to have their little laboratory stuff and all their big equipment and all that stuff, right? And then they're going to take DNA samples galore and measurements. You've seen it. I mean, come on. You've seen some of the animals. How? What do they do there? You're right. I mean, they can study them in the field.
And it's all in habitat.
But I don't think it's going to. I don't think it's going to help the creature any. I think the sooner that they, pretty soon these creatures are going to be, pretty soon it's going to be self-evident that they're going to be here, and then a lot of harm is going to start coming to them as a result of stupidity, people. I mean, you know, we have how many generations of different animals do we have that are currently extinct, almost extinct?
Well, look at that one. What was it? Last week's radio show, Davo or somebody was talking about it. What was it? A pterodactyl up in the Four Corners area.
Yeah.
That blew me away.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Well, there's a lot of things we don't know. I mean, it's hard to. I mean, you can't 100% say this or that. But I'm going to tell you one thing: you can't do anymore. You just can't say, oh, that's garbage, because you have to maintain an open mind, and not everything may be the way that we think that it is, but there's something else in there that we don't know, and so it's a missing piece of a puzzle, and you put all those missing pieces of the puzzle together, and you come up with the right answer eventually, but in the scientific community, they're not going to be, if you've ever watched how the scientific community operates, years and years and years, they'll debate over a stupid planet, whether it's a planet or a Pluto.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, how many years did they debate that? Okay.
We just had New York State within the past 4 months. NCON, which is a state agency, said that Bigfoot doesn't exist, Sasquatch doesn't exist in New York State.
Yeah, trying to kill one in New York State. Look at what they've got posted in New York State for what happens if you kill one. They have I've got letters somewhere stashed away here of all the things that you can't do, and one of them is killing. I forgot what law it comes under, but it's harming a creature, and the jail term is just about the same as it is for a human.
They also said there's no mountain lions in New York State, and they tracked one going right through the Capitol District here, and it got killed in Connecticut. And they had tracked it. They had the radio collar on it, and it went through. I mean, if one's here, they exist. There was no moose. They're all over the place here.
Well, of course, and that's the same with a lot of different things. We don't know a lot of things. If you got to take a look, and when you take a look at the map and you take a look at the land, even in the United States, there are a lot of areas where people just don't go.
most hikers don't ever go off trail.
Well, I know, but what I'm trying to say is that there's a lot we don't know. And there's not very many people out there looking through those areas because there's no water. Well, there is water, but not we're used to having water from a faucet. There's no faucets. There's no bathrooms. You can't drive. You got to walk. And how many people are going to walk 50 miles? I think very few people would want to walk 20 or 50 miles anymore today. I mean, a long time ago they used to do that, because that was the way you got around, and if you had a horse, you were on a fast transportation.
Right. Well, there was a wise woman that once told me, Marco Bill, that God doesn't put everything he's made into a book.
Right. Well, folks, I think I appreciate you all coming on today and sharing with us. We lost Mac because my phone went dead. The battery went dead. But I'll give him a call here after the show. Thank you so much for coming on. And we'll see you all hopefully next week.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah, you're welcome. I enjoyed listening.
Good night.
Yeah, you take care of yourself.
And to all you folks out there.
Good night to everybody.
Good night. Okay. Keep big footing. We'll see everybody next week. Tom will be back next week.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. Brought them together, reason for the facts.